Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, welcome to The Stoop on blogtalkradio.com. I am your host, Soapbox Scooter, in the building, doing my thing, bright on this Saturday a.m., man. It's beautiful out here in the Northwest, you know, and it's been rainy, so for me to say it's beautiful on this a.m. is a great thing. This is our clap back episode. In other words, we're just going to be sounding off and speaking on any and everything from the weather, the movies, Oscars, whatever you want to talk about. Anything that might piss you off, set you off during this week, this month, this year, feel free. If you want to just call in and big up something, feel free. That's what it is. That's what we're doing today. Again, the call in is 607-203-5357. I got some special guests in the building with me. DJ Iceman.
What's up, people? Brooklyn all day. Let's go.
My man T, what's up, man?
Hey, what up, family? How y'all living?
Introduce your people.
Hey, what's up? I'm James Howard, cameraman with Opsalon.
Janet Hammer, just a Canadian abroad.
We're in here sounding off, talking about hip-hop already. Already, we clapping back. Already. I have my co-host joining us, Miss Lala in the building. What's up?
Good morning. It's blue skies today in the Northwest. What up?
Yes. So we're just going in. We're clapping back already. You know, I got to set it off proper, man. We're going to get the clapping back. But, of course, as the game started, you know, instead of being on
on this one.
Nicki Minaj beef that has surfaced, and we're going to get into it big, but I want to know y'all feelings and opinions on these beefs. I want to know, because I grew up in a time where real beef existed, you know what I mean, and let's keep it funky, because people, you know, they always want to, you got a lot of cats that like to take it back, and well, Big said it best, what's beef? No, in hip-hop culture, real beef was settled on wax. Flat out. Now, if we beat to the point of it extended past wax, then I caught you at your show. I mean, you know, Karis One will jump on stage and beat your ass. Ask PM Dawn. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if beat extended, but that was personal. You know what I'm saying? But most of the time, it went to wax. And, like, I was watching, it was an MC Shan, I think, interview. And MC Shan made a comment, like, me and Chris have never officially ever battled. And I was like, Sam, what the hell are you talking about? He was like, we never got on stage and we never did this and da-da-da. We should set it up on pay-per-view. And I get, okay, you're trying to do something. I see what you're doing. But no, nigga, you actually did get in the battle and you lost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Twice.
No fact. because it went to wax. So now with this Nicki Minaj Remy, how do you feel? Ice, I'm pass the mic to you, Ice, because I know you got a lot to say on the situation. Go right ahead, brother.
Man, first of all, you know, this I was telling Scooter earlier today that I hate these MC versus rapper battles. And that's what this is the MC versus a rapper. The reason why I hate these battles is because the MC always wins, but the MC never wins. You know, Nicki is not going to outbar Remy by a long shot. It is not going to happen. But the mindless masses out there, as soon as they people start losing, they want to be like, well, Nicki has more money. Nobody cares. If we're talking about the culture, we don't care. Yes, Nicki's a bigger brand. Okay, and speaking of brands, Kmart just dropped her brand. So, like, let's not even go there with that. All right, Nicki is a slave to her label. You know, she has a 360 deal, which means half her tour money goes to the label. Most of her publishing goes to the label. Anything she does outside of music, sponsorships, endorsements, movies, TV, goes to the label. So she really, you know, yeah, she's worth upteen millions of dollars, but she could be worth a lot more if she didn't have that deal. Whereas Remy Ma, she makes $7 off of every record she sells. She owns her masters, which means she can go out and do whatever the hell she wants to with her music, and she's going to benefit from it totally. She makes all the money on her tours. To give up a percentage to anybody except maybe Fat Joe, who's her management, which is supposed to happen anyway, you know. So at the end of the day, who really wins? And she rhymes better. So at the end of the day, the money is irrelevant. Nicki is not going to outbar Remy. What's the most that Nicki's going to say about Remy? That she's doing Love and Hip Hop? Well, that's fine. A lot of people are doing it, but nobody said anything when Nicki was doing that little BS MTV documentary. All right, Owen. And Remy kind of addressed this 2 or 3 days ago on Wendy Williams. Nicki Minaj has a habit of shading people anyway. She did it with Mariah when she was on America's Got Talent or whatever that show was, X Factor or whatever. She always wants to talk shit about people who are, quote-unquote, below her. But now that somebody's actually clapping back, we haven't heard anything in, what, almost 2 weeks? And, you know, go ahead. And another big thing is, I understand, like, people like, okay, Foxy Brown, she got a little upset because Remy said something about her, you know, or made a little subliminal hit. Everybody does not need to be jumping into this beef. All right, Foxy Brown shouldn't have said anything. All right, it got to the point where Sparky D, an 80s MC, Sparky D, got in and dissed everybody. I'm like, damn, who's next, boss? It's like Heather Hunter's gonna come out the closet and start dissing people. Like, what the fuck?
You know, and that's the thing, man. Like, I am a fan of the old school dissing, but again, don't just jump in it. You know, now here's Foxy. Oh, this is my chance to breathe some life back into my career. You know who's going to be next? Joe Budden. Joe Budden jumps on every beat, dude. He's going to be next. Joe Budden's going to get on it, dude. I swear to God. Because, you know, Joe will jump on the beat. Joe loves to get in some shit that don't got nothing to do with him. You know, so he'll do it, and he'll comment on it and say something, you know. Because, like, who did he have beef with recently? Was it the Drake? When he on his show where he commented? Yeah, he said he was a fan of Drake's, but then he didn't like the album or whatever Drake came out with. Yeah. So, again, these beats, like, my thing is this. With a lot of these artists in the game, y'all can call it shade, hate, whatever. I'm going to state a fact. And the fact is most of these cats are whack, and they're garbage. They spit game is whack. I don't care if your promotion is great. I don't care if your people market you well. Good for you picking some good management. That's what you're supposed to do. I understand your business, right? But you're ruining the culture. You're ruining the game that it is, because I could see if you were Lil Yachty, right, and you were like, yo, this is who I am,
But some of my favorite MCs were blah, blah, blah. Okay, maybe you didn't grow up listening to Big or whatever, but at least give me some names. Don't come out here like and then make yourself look dumb. Like, who recently just said that they was the Tupac of, the, of today? Yeah. No. No.
Of the day.
You're not the Tupac of today, dude. Like, come on, man. You're Joey Badass. That's who you are. Be Joey Badass. Don't worry about trying to be a Tupac. There's not going to be a Tupac, dude. I mean, anybody that knows me knows I'm not a dude that runs around big up and pop. Pop to me was a basic MC. He didn't have super lyrical skills. But what Pac was to me was what KRS-One was to hip-hop. He was a prophet. He was a teacher. You know what I'm saying? And those are the only two cats to me that I put on that level. You know what I mean? That he will go down as the most talked about. He'll be the Elvis of hip-hop. Pac, I mean, Pac will go down as that. You know what I mean? His impact was the greatest. I don't think anybody's had a greater impact in hip-hop than Pac has. You know? But I always reference Pac this way. Remember when Forrest Gump was running and all the people were running behind him and he stopped and he was like, I'm going to go home. And everybody else was like, yo, what are we going to do? That's what happened with Pac. Pac was running because Pac still hadn't made it. He hadn't evolved. He's constantly evolving. He only got two albums that sounded like, and that was 50 for My Niggas and Tupac Lives Now. That was similar. Every other album was different from each album. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I didn't buy anything after Machiavelli, because everybody remembers Pac used to go in and record 20, 30 songs and then say, this is the shit I don't want, this is the shit I do want. So I didn't buy them bullshit albums that came out after, because you're just throwing some shit together. I didn't buy none of them. Machiavelli, and that was it. You know, so understand that, though, with Pac. I just want people to be clear where I'm coming from when I mention Pac and where he stands, because I hate people always like, Pac and Big, Pac and Big. You can't put Big in a sense. He had two albums. If you're throwing him in there, then you're going to throw Big Pun in there as well, if you're counting two albums. And you're talking, now, lyrically, yes, both of them niggas is devastating. Make no mistake about that. Hold on, man, because I'm over here going off into all kind of corners. I got a caller calling in. Caller, what's good, man? Talk to me.
Yo, Scooter, what's up, man? What's good? This is your boy, Def Con of the mighty 98.7 FM KSVR Mount Vernon, my guy. How you living?
What's good? What's good? How you, fam? How you?
I'm good, my brother. I'm good, man. Just I was feeling the topic. I was like, man, let me call in right quick, man, and pop off a little bit and clap back. You know what I mean?
Please do. Feel free. The clap is all yours, brother.
Well, man, you know, the thing I hate about this whole Remy Ma, Nicki Minaj, like, you know, it's like you said, people are like, Nicki's got more money. Nicki's done this. Nicki's done, like, you know what? It don't matter how much money you got in a battle. I mean, you're not battling bank accounts. You're battling lyricism. You know what I'm saying? That's what the battle was. Like, it's like you said, I mean, it don't matter if you got, you know, pretty much it don't matter if you got 16 platinum albums. Like, if I show up at your show and you get bodied on the mic, that's a wrap. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in the very same experience myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I showed up in a battle one time and I got kind of thrown in by some people, and like, you know, one of the more popular cats in the place, like, you know, I thought, all right, you know, I ain't going to be no punk bitch. Like, you know, I'm gonna humor this, you know what I'm saying? And so one of the more popular cats, like, you know, he was coming with some bars that were whack. Like, you know, he was talking about, like, my shoes, which I bought, like, 3 days before. And, like, yeah, you know, just something stupid. And he made the mistake at the time that, you know, this cat came at me and he said something about my girl. And I was like, oh, okay, homie. Like, and so I got on stage and I was like, hey, yo, Bellingham, you know, fuck this clown. Let's go. It's hip hop. You know what I mean? You know, I came at him like, you know, why you mad, son? You know my girl would knock off your socks. Don't be mad at my shorty because she don't like small cocks.
Right.
And so, you know, in the crowd, by the end of the battle, like, the crowd was going wild and it was a rap. And, you know, his popularity and all the rest of that, it didn't matter. And, like, that's what is happening in this day and age. You really have people that are non hip-hop, that are not hip-hop heads, that aren't about two turntables and a microphone and, you know, check my b-boy stance and, you know what I'm saying, that aren't about the art form and the culture, just they're about, like, this, you know, cookie-cutter, you know, marginalized, spoon-fed garbage that, you know, you're getting in the mainstream in this day and age that don't understand those concepts. Like, you know, in back in the day, like, even not so long ago, like, if somebody drops a diss track about you, like, I mean, shit, like, and you just don't respond, like, you know, you would get laughed at. You get clowned, you know what I mean? Like,
since we're sitting here talking about, you know, keeping it funky in our past, let me tell you a situation. So I teach hip-hop. I teach the culture and history of hip-hop to youth. And I'm not going to say no names because me and the man done pieced it up. But one of my students ended up not showing up like he was supposed to. So when I do my event, Hip Hop in the Park, he usually most of my kids get to perform. And I told him, nah, you can't perform. So he was upset. He was heated. So on some, and let me tell you, because I'm a hip hop head, let me tell you how much I love hip hop. This little cat showed up to my event. He showed up to my park event with a diss track on CD and passed it out to cats at my event. Nigga, I was like, what? Yo, he was G for that. I was like, oh, my little young boy passed out his little diss track about me. I refused to listen to it. I was like, I'm not going to listen to it. Right? But, you know, I went home. My man said, Scooter, you way too old to be dissing the dude. Like, how you look going up against a kid? Like, he was like, you're going to go. But the MC in me, man, and I knew, and I used to tell my kids, don't ever diss me because I know much about your personal life. The MC in me, I went home, I wrote a 16, I called him up, had him come over to my house, and I spit it for him. And I said, just so you know, my nigga, this is out here. If you ever speak on me again, this is coming out. And I fired that joint off, and when I was done, he was like, man, Unc, I'm sorry. He said, I'm sorry, man. And we pieced it up. I never put it on wax. I never recorded it, but I told him, this is out here. This exists. And if you ever want it with me, dude, this will come out. You know, so, again, I say that to say, if you're getting dissed, you're supposed to speak out. I mean, you know it's a sad day in hip-hop when Shia LaBeouf is calling cats out.
Yeah.
You know it. Come on.
You know, sometimes it's like, you know, fam, sometimes it's like that old school, you know, kung fu movie where you get the young kid, you know, that comes up to the grandmaster, you know what I mean, popping off like, you know, you about to catch the beat down. And, you know, sometimes you gotta speak, you know, speak with your hands, speak with your bars, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel you on that, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, sometimes you just gotta, you know, it's funny. I was in a similar, I was in a situation myself where I was at work, bro, and, like, somebody was, like, you know, they thought they were real cute, like, and they came at me, and they were, like, at my job, bro, I work at a bank, homie, and somebody came at me, and were like, man, I could out-rap you any day, and I was, like, okay, what's good, like, what's going on, and, you know, so, I crushed them, bro, and it's, like, you know, sometimes the MC in you, and that's what it is. And driving to the point that you were saying, man, it's about the MC. It's not about who the hell cares what your brand is. And again, your brand getting dropped from Kmart, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, if you can't go toe-to-toe, like, if you're getting dissed, then, like, you don't say a word. Like, especially on the level that somebody, like, Remy Ma, Nicki Minaj are, like, you know, that's out of pocket, bro. You know what I mean?
But that's hip-hop in general, all right? Now, me, I'm a DJ, all right? I'm not a battle DJ at all. All right, I'm a blend DJ. I was trying to be the next Kid Capri, you know what I'm saying? Kick Flavor and all that shit, all right?
Right.
But you cannot say that you're a hip-hop if you've never been in a battle.
Exactly.
I'm not a battle DJ. But I've been in battle. I got two DMCs under my belt. I don't do this shit at all. But when it comes out, you know what I'm saying? Even if I know I'm gonna get beat, I gotta step up. It's hip hop. You have to.
Right.
Never been in a battle. Period.
Right.
Anybody who's a real DJ, who's a real MC, who's real hip hop, has battle stories. They've been in a battle. I don't care if it's kids. I'm pretty sure Drake has had a battle or two outside of his stardom or whatever. You cannot call it Drake. Yeah.
Has Nicki ever had a battle?
Never been in a battle.
Yo.
Period.
Has Nicki ever had a battle?
I was gonna say don't get me started on Drake the Human Sugar Cookie, bro. You know what I mean? Like, for real. That's another subject, homie.
What was you saying?
Go ahead, Lala.
I was just asking y'all if Nicki's ever had a battle, because I'm not a fan and I don't follow her. Has she ever had a battle before? Because I see her as a manufactured entertainer. Actually, is how I see her.
Yeah. She's had, you know, back before she was inflated, she had, like, little internet battles that she had, you know, like, but it wasn't nothing where she was murdering nobody. I don't ever remember Nicki, like, you know, she.
Okay,
what,
so
what
she's
got
manufactured,
her,
and she's probably manufacturing her little response now. It just takes longer when it ain't real.
When they had the Hip Hop Awards sometime back, and she spit, this is before she had the ass and all that, and she spit on, she was in one of the cyphers, and she came out in a cypher, and then from that cypher, she ended up getting signed, and that's when she ended up just blowing up.
And then
from
she
that
got the butt.
You know, and that was crazy. Like, you know, as we talk about this, you know, we're talking about hip-hop, we're talking about the culture. I got to keep it funky, you know what I mean? Y'all know me, man, you know, and if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it the right way. Hold on, I'm going to make sure I set everything up proper. And as we move forward, because I'm going to take a look. We're speaking hip-hop. And because we're speaking hip-hop, I got to play this joint real quick, man, just because. Hold on.
Step into a world where there's no one there.
Island of Austin!
But the very best.
Thank you.
kicking the Willie Bobo, clapping back at everything and anything. And let me catch y'all up to speed. So we're sitting here, and we're still talking about dissing and diss tracks. And I just happened to mention about, you know, because we were saying that a lot of rappers will surpass MCs in a diss because they're more popular or more famous and have more money. And I was talking about, since I played the KRS One joint, I was talking about how, you know, Nelly had dissed him with I Am Number One. And I was saying, you know, even though, you know, KRS One had diss songs after that devastated Nelly, a lot of people didn't really know about it, you know. And I had to give credit to Nelly for even making that attempt. Like, that was balls for the show. You know what I mean? So I always, I'm not a Nelly fan, but I give him that little bit of props. So we got to talking again about Tupac and a lot of different things and who, you know, got involved. And, you know, and we were talking about how people argue, you know, certain things, like how if you ever argue with a Pac fan, that's like a Thug Pac fan, not a real Pac fan, but the Thug Pac fan, the first thing they want to say is, well, Pac shot some cops. Pac was real as gangster. Pac, you know. And, you know, like that has nothing to do with his rap career. Really, if you ever hear the true story behind that, Pac was scared as hell. And he shot one dude in the ass, and the other one was like, I think, in the back of the leg or something. Right. So it wasn't like he was in that y'all good gangster, you know, get down and lay down. That wasn't the situation. You know what I mean? So it kills me when people bring that up. So as we were going on, we were talking about, you know, low-key beefs that a lot of people don't know, that even though Pac was dissing Big in the Hit 'Em Up song, a lot of the subliminals that he was throwing was actually to Will Smith, because Will Smith's wife was going to see Pac in the hospital. And that was a big beef, and a lot of people don't know that. And that's how Will Smith and the whole Jada Pinkett thing came about, because Jada Pinkett was Pac's best friend. They went to the School of Arts together. And that was the only female close enough that Will Smith could get to, that he could get at Pac. I guarantee if Pac would have been alive to this day, that we would have seen beef. And Ice went on to say, make no mistake about it, Will Smith was a battle rapper MC. And let me tell y'all, as a Philly native, I can confess, yes. Think. I always tell people when Eminem made that, you know, Will Smith doesn't cuss on his records, but I do, so F him. I said, let me tell you something. You think that would be a cakewalk. But Will Smith, I'm telling you what, I would love to see that battle. To see those two minds going, because Will's a clown. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, and a lot of people don't speak on it. I'm going to tell you a cat that speaks on it in his mind, and it's Jack Frost. Jack Frost talks about it. You know what I mean? So we're just kicking some hip-hop facts, man, you know, clapping back. And these are things that people don't know. These are the things that the Nicki Minaj's and the Little Yachty's, and this is what they're lacking. This is what they're lacking. This is why the game is, you know, I always say hip-hop is not dead, but it damn sure needs to be resuscitated. You know what I mean? It is
exactly
on life support for real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
Yo, can I jump in?
Yes, please.
On the topic of Tupac, real quick, I know a couple of the fellas that are responsible for bringing All Eyes on Me to theaters. So it's coming out at the end of this month. Shout out to Bobby Francis and Jeff Flanagan, Code Black. Go out and support it. You're going to critique it, whatever, but support it. And this is what the younger ones need to see, is different variations, but keep the stories going. So All Eyes on Me comes out, I think, the end of March.
You know, and when you're talking hip-hop movies, you know, one thing I'll say it all day, 8 Mile with me was fabulous, you know. And I thought the Big joint wasn't bad. It was just kind of like, okay, that's Big. Same thing with the 50 Cent. Neither one of them was bad. It was just, okay, cool. I think this Pop joint is going to be like over 8 Mile Big. N.W.A. was great. I thought N.W.A. was great, you know. And I think this Pop joint has the potential to be that big. You know, so I'm excited. I'm glad you brought it up.
I agree.
You definitely need to go support it. And then one more thing I want to make sure I say, listen up. I want to give a shout-out to DEFCON for calling in. But more importantly, didn't you just recently get engaged, DJ DEFCON?
Yeah, me and the missus, we've been talking about it, and I think we're going to make the jump. You know what I'm saying? We got a nice little family here, and you know, it's time to start thinking about the future. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
What's up? Congratulations.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, and since we are talking, just so y'all know, those that know me know how I get down. It's Saturday, but it's fight night. The fight party will be at my house.
Keith Thurman against Danny Garcia. Y'all are welcome to come, you know what I'm saying, break bread with your boy, man. And it's because it's going to be live. I just had to bring that out because Keith Thurman is my guy right now. Keith Thurman, I'm going to tell y'all, let me share a story with y'all. This is off the hip-hop topic, but I got to share this, man. I'm a boxing fan, and I was so Roy Jones, dude. Like, Roy Jones was that dude. And the night that he got knocked out, I think I cried a little bit. I really did, man. I think I said it a tear or two, man. I couldn't believe it. And then even worse, 6 months later, he got knocked out again. And I know I cried that night because then I knew his career was over. You know what I'm saying? At that point, it seemed everybody was knocking out Roy Jones. I saw Roy Jones at Kmart, and a lady in a wheelchair swung on him, and he went down. I couldn't believe it. I was like, yo. It just kind of happened. So Keith Thurman coming out is kind of like a new Roy Jones, man, and I'm in love with him. He's knocking cats out. He can bang you with the left. He can bang you with the right. He can bang you backing up. He's got speed. He's got power. He needs to be more seasoned. He's not as seasoned as Roy Jones was, so there's some work that he needs to put in on seasoning himself, you know, so he can go those longer distances. But that's the dude. If there's a guy that's going to be Mayweather, if Mayweather ever steps back in the ring, that's the guy I got slated to put hands on Mayweather, you know, not counting Triple G, because, you know, we know Triple G got hands, too.
Yeah, don't bet him for this fight, though.
Yeah. No.
The Philly got it this fight.
You think Garcia got it? You think so? Man. No, you don't think
so? He's seen a better boxer, faster boxer.
Okay.
Harder puncher. People with better footwork and whatnot. All in different facets and whatnot. So you put them all together. Like Keith Thurman is not better than none of them. He's not faster than Ray Khan. He don't got a harder.
It sounds like you need to be here tonight, brother, because we're going to have a battle on this. I think Keith Thurman is equally. I think he's stronger than what Garcia is used to. And that's what he's
getting more pop than Matisse?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yes. And I agree on points, Garcia's win. Keith Thurman's gotta knock him out. And I think that's what's gonna happen.
Are you going to though?
Yes. I think Keith Thurman's knocking him out. He's going for it.
Now I'm gonna come in here and fuck up the whole argument.
Do it.
Because, you know what I'm saying, as much of a boxer as I am, I'm actually a retired professional MMA fighter. So my thing tonight is the Tyron Woodley Josh Thompson fight.
Yo.
That's my thing tonight.
Since we're dropping plugs real quick, man, you mind if I drop one?
No, please do. Please do.
Yo, for your listeners out there, speaking of mixed martial arts, I wanted to invite you out to check me out. March 18th, broadcasting live from the Snoqualmie Casino, doing the Fight Night ringside commentary with UFC heavyweight Anthony the Freight Train Hamilton, bringing some of the hottest in Northwest mixed martial arts action right from the ringside. Y'all check me out at Combat Games MMA. They'll have a live pay-per-view. I think it's only like $5 to get the paper. Like, so it's not like mad expensive at all. And like, man, some of these fights are bananas that they have. Coke and MMA, like, you know the superhero cat from Seattle, Phoenix Jones?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, he actually fought at the last event at a Snoqualmie.
What?
Yeah.
The superhero?
Yeah, that cat.
Fighter by day, superhero by night? Yeah,
exactly with his
professional fighter at Snoqualmie.
With his flat top.
Yeah, you know what's crazy about the whole Phoenix Jones thing is that I had read where he had an actual arch enemy. Like, there was a dude that was like out there trying to be his antagonist. I was like, yo, they are taking this way too far.
I'm doing the party, you know, the Josh Thompson Tyron Woodley fight tonight at my crib. And since we're on a sports thing, all right, you know what's gonna come up. So let's go ahead and get into it. The whole Mayweather Conor McGregor thing. Mm. You know, I'm tired of hearing about it because the whole thing is number one. Dana White's not going to let that happen. All right. Number two, if it
does not let that happen.
Yeah. Number two, if it does happen, all right, it depends on it's going to be a check. If it happens, it's going to be a check, but it depends on where it's going to happen.
Because
here's the thing.
He don't want to get knocked out, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He ain't going to get knocked out.
Here's
though.
The thing. If it happens in a boxing ring, Conor McGregor has no fucking chance whatsoever.
Exactly.
If it happens in a cage, as soon as Mayweather hits his back, it's a wrap.
He's going right for that.
It's a wrap. So unless they do like pancreation or some shit, where they can do both.
It's not gonna make sense.
He's gonna go straight for his ankles. Like, but they did this already. What was Ray Mercer and whoever some years ago? They tried to do that, and the dude went straight for Ray Mercer's ankles. I mean, mind you, they both were like 1,000 years old at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure that broke a rib on the way down. Yeah.
Conor has good MMA boxing,
yeah,
but he doesn't have boxing. He's up in there with a real boxer. I can get one of my boys from Al Davies
that will beat the shit out of Conor. Conor knows that. Like, Conor knows that he got a stiff ass left straight, right? And anybody who knows Mayweather right knows that one of his weaknesses is the left-handed fighter, right? And so he also knows that Mayweather got brittle hands, fight with a big ass gloves, and he got no tail power. So what? I'm gonna walk you down the whole fight for 12 rounds, and I'm gonna see if I can catch you with this left. I gotta catch you. You know, I gotta catch him once. Now, is he gonna catch him? No.
No.
But that's the whole excitement of the fight.
Right. No, the whole excitement.
All right, let me chime in. All right, and this is on topic since he's talking Mayweather, and people have. As a boxing fan, it kind of upsets me that nobody brings this up. One of the best fights I ever seen against Mayweather was Zab, Judah, and Mayweather.
Yeah.
And everybody, for 5 rounds, Zab was getting it.
Zab threw that fight. That's Zab.
Thank you.
He was 52 blocks on this. Yeah. I think
Zab threw that fight too. And it's amazing to me that nobody ever brings up them fighting again. You know what I mean? Nobody brings up the fight. Like, they were so equally matched, and they both were Team Tyson at the time. Like, people always, it amazes me how everybody overlooks that. You know what I mean? It's kind of like how we were just talking about Illmatic. You know what I mean? So we'll jump back on the hip hop topic, right? So we were sitting here, and we were talking about how, and this is my clap back to all of these Illmatic fans. Don't get me wrong. I am a Nas fan. I like Nas. Like, but a lot of people that's talking about from day one now. I'm not talking about cats who listened to it recently. I'm talking day one when Illmatic dropped. Everybody asked, like, oh, Illmatic was a classic. No, it wasn't. The single was a classic. The single was a classic. And that put Illmatic on the top. But you can't bang Illmatic all the way through unless you're just listening for lyrical skill. But a lot of it, you're not banging all the way through. You're not, you know, and people kill me. So we were in here talking about it, like, yeah, you don't, you know. Now, to me, my favorite Nas album is Stillmatic. I think Stillmatic is a great album, and it bangs from front to back. And I think Godson bangs from front to back. But that's because his mom passed. He had a lot to say on that, and you could feel it in that. You know what I'm saying? To me, Nas' music has gotten better with time.
Yeah, like a lot of people don't like that album. Life is Good. I love that shit. Life was Good with a fucking dope album. You know, but yeah.
Right.
And you know, I had a few crazy looks because I'm one of the dudes that say, well, Illmatic kind of fucked up the whole hip hop scene. And everybody's like, well, why is that? Because Illmatic was basically one of the first, for lack of a better word, fucking producer compilation album. That was one of the first albums that had like a multiple amount of fucking producers and had no real continuity. It is what it is. You had like 8 or 9 different producers on that album. You had Pete Rock, you had Lost Professor, you had Premier, you had LES. I think Buck Wild had a track on there. There was like no fucking continuity on that album.
It should have been the classic it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Every song, it should have been on some Get Rich or Die Trying. Every song should have had a video. It should have been on the radio, and it just
exactly.
It just wasn't. Now, I'll tell you something that'll blow your mind. I did an interview with a dude that wrote a book called Rolling with Dre. And he said at the time that he was rolling with Dre that he if you was talking to Dre, you was talking to him first. And so I asked him about and this was years ago. This is probably like in 2010 I had this interview. So I asked him about the Rakim Dre connection and what happened, because recently there was actually an article on Facebook floating around about it too. And he said, you know, a lot of songs, he said that Dre was so worried about messing up an icon. And everybody in Dre's corner kept saying, but Dre, you an icon too. So he kept kind of BSing on getting in there and doing what he was, because he was so worried about messing things up. And so it never happened. So he, but the guys went on to say a lot of those songs that they were working on ended up on Get Rich or Die Trying.
Wow.
And that blew my mind when he said that. And I was like, man. Like, because now, and he wouldn't go any further than that. So I'm thinking, oh, you talking song name, topics, lyrics, beat? What exactly are you talking about? Because can I see Rakim doing some of the songs and Get Rich Die Trying? Maybe, but I don't know, because 50 kind of just really bodied that joint. So I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, man, like that might not have been a good album if it was Rakim. You know what I mean? Because when you think of the style of Rakim. So it really caught me like, yo. And ever since then, I think my goal has been like, let me corner Rakim somewhere and be like, dude, was that your stuff? You know what I mean?
Oh,
just really go ahead.
Oh, and something else we need to get on to before the day is over is the fucking Jeff Blaze Swiss Beats battle.
Oh, yeah. The one where he leaked the track?
Yeah.
Yo. Yo. Hey.
Yeah, that's what they do.
All right.
He was getting body all
so,
night.
So, look, we gonna jump into that, man. But I got to keep it funky, man. Defcon, stay with us, man. Don't hang up. Stay with us. La, la, yo. We're going to be back, man. But we're gonna let this play because we're in this hip-hop talk and we clapping back. So, you know me, I got to keep it funky, man.
Yes, sir.
With this, I'm just gonna sit here laid back to this nice mellow beat, you know, and drop some smooth lyrics. It's 88, time to set it straight, you know what I'm saying? And there ain't no half stepping. Word, I'm ready.
Rapper stepping to me, they wanna get some, but I'm the cane, so yo, you know the outcome. Another victory, they can't get with me. So pick a BC day, cause you're history. I'm the authentic poet to get lyrical. For you to beat me, gonna take a miracle and step into me. Yo, that's the wrong move. So what you on, Harv? Dope a dog food. Competition, I just devour. Like a pit bull against a chihuahua. When it comes to being dope, hot damn, I got it good. Now let me tell you who I am. The VIGGADDYKANE. Dramatic, Asiatic, not like many. I'm different, so don't compare me to another. Cause they can't hang. Word to the mother. At least not with the principal in this pedigree. So when I roll on your rappers, you better be ready to die because you're petty. You're just a butter knife, I'm a machete. The slave I get into, wait until when you try to front so I can chop into your body. Just because you try to be basin, Friday the 13th, I'ma play Jason. No type of joke, that game, puzzle, or riddle. The name is Big Daddy, yes, big, not little, so define it. Change your walking papers, sign it, and take a walk as the cane starts to talk, cause I'm a big daddy. My rhymes are so doping, the rappers be hoping to sound like me so soon. I'll have to open a school of MCing for those who wanna be in my field and court. Then again, on second thought, the happy coming out sounding so similar. It's quite confusing for you to remember the originator. And boy, do I hate a perpetrator. But I'm much greater. The best, oh yes, I guess, suggest the best. Your best, don't mess or test your highness. Unless you just address with best finesse and bless the paragraph. I manifest, rap prime minister. Some say sinister, non-stop in the groove until when it's the climax, climax, relax and chill. Have a break from a take of me acting ill. Brain cells are lit, ideas start to hit. Next to formation of words that fit. At the table I sit, making it legit. And when my pen hits the paper, pause, it's I stop and stand strong over MCs and devour with the power of Hercules or Samson. But I go further to left, cause you can scout my cameo and I still have strength. And no, that's not a myth, and if you try to rip or get whipped, the man with the given gift of gab, your vocab, I only ignore. Be sleeping on your rhymes till I start to snore. You can't awake me or even make me fear your son, cause you can't do me none. So think about it if you're trying to go. When you wanna step to me, I think you should know that. The name is Big Daddy, you know, as in your father. So when you hear a death rhyme, believe that I'm the author. I grab the mic and make them CZ evaporate. The party people say, damn, that rapper's great. The creator, conductor of poetry, etc., etc. It ain't easy being me. I speak clearly so you can understand. Put words together like letter, man. Now that's dictation, proceeding to my innovation. Not like the other MCs that are an imitation or an animation, a cartoon to me. But when I'm finished, I'm sure that you are soon to see reality. My secret technique, because I always speak with mentality. I put my title in your face, dare you to face. Then if you try to come get it, yo, I'ma show you who's winning. So if you know like I know, instead of messing around, play like Roy Rogers and slow down. Give yourself a break, or someone else will take your title. Namely me, because I'm homicidal. That means murder. You sound like the herder. Another MC. To try to get with me, I'll just break them and make them and break them and dig them and mold them and make them hold up the peace sign. Also, I'm a label.
Like,
motherfuckers
are on the
one way,
and then when
yes.
came out,
this is the Soup on blogtalkradio.com. I am your host, Soapbox Scooter. Again, we are kicking the Willy Bobo, clapping any and everything, but we've gotten trapped into this hip-hop zone, which, of course, you know, I mean, we're hip-hop heads, so rightfully so. And since no one else has got anything to call in and clap back about, why not stay in the hip-hop world, right? Let's keep this going. So we're talking about... Recently, Rakim came out and acknowledged that there was a there was beef between him and Kane, and him and EPMD. So we got to saying, who do you think could win? Because there's also an interview where Big Daddy Kane says, yo, that kid Rakim was nice. And he looked straight in the camera. And this was recent. And he said, but he ain't better than me, though. So, you know, like, to me, that's like, I said it to the fellas, to me, that's like Marvel in D.C. right there, you know. And so we're talking about it like I am a Rakim fan. I think his lyricism is bananas. But, I mean, Kane was always right there for me. You know, I think Kane, I mean, he gives you a better show by far. Kane will give you a better show, but bar for bar, man. Ah, man. I mean, even when you lay their albums against each other, they kind of add up about the same. They both had some whack albums. Like, they had the first two joints, and then, like, the next album kind of was, like, some whackness. And, you know, then he came back with Looks Like a Job For with Kane. Old school Kane started coming back. Veterans Day was pretty good. Rakim came back with 18th Letter and his. So they started coming back with some dope spit. And anything you've heard them on, if they made a guest appearance on, they get on, you know what I mean, and they do what they do. You know, Rakim on the joint with what's the joint he's on with Talib? Is it Talib Kweli? That he's got the joint. It's him and Kool G Rap, and they spit on the one joint. I think it's Talib.
Yeah, it's
oh, or maybe it's Black Thought.
I post this just a couple. I kind of post this like every year. Uh-huh. The dude from Jump Off TV or something like that. One of the dudes had a chart. All right, it was basically like a lineage chart.
Right.
So it was Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, Flip Rick, LL Cool J. Chuck D, and it was somebody else. Like,
Cool G Rap.
I think it was Cool G Rap. All right, so for these six MCs, all right, all the other MCs came from. And it was either a direct descendant or a combination of both.
Yeah.
So it was like, you heard, like, Nas. Nas was like a combination of Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, and I think, like, Slick Rick for storytelling.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And it just trickled down from there. Follow me on Facebook, Robert Anderson on Facebook. I'll find your video and repost it again. It was some really interesting shit. And just like we just talked before Scooter stepped out, there were certain people, all right, as far as rhyming goes, that actually changed the dichotomy of how people rhymed, all right?
Hold up. Million-dollar word, dichotomy.
So it's like, it was like pretty basic until certain people came out. And then they made everybody go back in the lab and redo their shit. Cass came out. Yeah. Everybody was like, oh shit, I gotta start rhyming like Mo D. Yeah. Then Run DMC came out. Everybody started trying to do that style. Then it was Rakim and Kane. Then, you know what I'm saying? Then it was Nas.
LL dropped
it. LL. Then it was Rakim and Kane. And then it was Nas, all right? And I was just telling these folks, nowadays, all right? As, no, you think they're here, but watch this. As much as I can't stand these little fuckers, all right? Fucking Migos. Because as soon as Migos came out, all these other little motherfuckers were like, they're the father that I stopped.
Yeah.
You're right. You know, I'm going to say something that might piss a lot of people off, because this is a cat that I can't understand for what any reason why people consider him to be in a level of great. Lil Wayne.
Oh, my God.
And this is what I miss about old school radio.
Louisiana, baby.
Said Lil Wayne was whack, and let it be known. But now,
like she said, manufactured and produced already. That's what he is.
Can I drop a little tidbit about Lil Wayne?
Go ahead. Yeah, please do.
Bro. So I am not a fan of Lil Wayne, and I'm not gonna name drop who put this show on. Or any of my contacts or anything of such, but let's just say, as a media representative, I was at a concert that Lil Wayne was located at, right? And the concert was dope. Like, I got in the pit, which was right in front of the stage. Like, right. I mean, I could literally reach out and shake hands with the artist. Like, that's how close I was. And it was dope, and it was a good night, and, you know, all the media were getting, footage and images, and, like, it was just bananas. And so all of a sudden, just before Lil Wayne set, like, security comes in, and they start moving everybody out of the press pit. And I'm like, yo, bro, what the hell is going on? I got media credentials. And they're like, well, only approved media can be in the press pit during Lil Wayne's show. So, like, they cleared everybody. So, like, you know, the great media night of, you know, of footage and just, you know, stuff, like, just got completely, like, Lil Wayne had to clear everybody out of the press pit because we were too close, apparently. And it's like, bro... Like, what? Like, I mean, this ain't a sold-out... It's like, homie, this ain't a sold-out show for what? Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, no one really cares, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? And like, it's just... I get the feeling that from Lil Wayne on up to Lil Wayne's people, like, that it's just like people are trying to put him on a level that he really shouldn't be on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, look at his accomplishments.
Hold on. Let me say this. Not to cut you off, but let me say this. And what's pissing me off is because we have our own, like, quote-unquote greats showing that love, right? And I'm going to tell you what I mean. Because he done came out there and said, Lil Wayne going to be that boy. He done said it in songs and all that. Stop it. You know that nigga's whack. You know what I'm saying? And you can tell he know he whack because that's when he said, I might give this to the mixtape Weezy. Well, we know mixtape Weezy's whack too. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep it funky. Stop acting like he's this dude that goes in and says, no. Yo, real talk, when you watched that cypher with him and Kevin Hart, I was like, dude, what the hell is he even talking about?
But you know, she had a good point, all right? All the cash money was manufactured. They put that shit together basically to knock No Limit out the box. People forgot about that. All right? Cash money came about because they wanted a piece of New Orleans, and fucking Master P and his crew had the whole shit locked down. All right?
Right.
And it's not like No Limit was that great either. All right, like Silk the Shocker is like one of the like top three worst rhymers in the fucking world. Like, how the fuck he ever got on is beyond me.
It ain't my fault.
Master P's a good businessman because it's all about the business.
Yeah. On the flip side, though, all right, I was never a big Master P fan or anything like that, but the mixtape game as it is right now would not be the way it is without Master P. And let me explain why.
because when he started doing those fucking covers with pen and pixel graphics, that was groundbreaking. Wasn't nobody doing shit like that. Everybody took that shit and ran with it. So if you can't give Master P any credit for anything else, you got to give him that, period.
Exactly.
Scooter, my man, I wanted to share one more point, if I could, before the end of the show.
Say that again.
I said I just wanted to share one more point, my G, before the end of the show, if possible.
Please do.
You know, I know you probably have listeners right now that, you know, not everybody tuning in right now is a hip-hop head. And, you know, if you're trying to really absorb the conversation that everybody's having here and the culture of hip-hop and why people are like, yo, you know, all this stuff you're seeing is out of pocket, like, the point I wanted to bring, a concept that I always compare hip-hop to is, like, if you watch, you know, one of those old, like, Japanese samurai movies or, like, you know, a kung fu movie or something like that, like, the concepts expressed in those movies are a lot like hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have the kung fu cat or, like, the samurai that, you know, his life is dedicated to his craft. And basically what happens is day in, day out, you know, he strives to be the hardest that he can be. But, you know, there are times that battle and combat, you know, happen. And, like, when somebody steps up, you know, they step right back. And, you know, somebody's about to get knocked down. And it's the same way, it was the same concept that's always been with hip-hop. You know, like, you strive to be... You strive to be the greatest at your craft, and
right.
At times, you know, I mean, you know, when somebody steps up and they come at you with that bravado, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
that hip-hop and kung fu go hand in hand. When I grew up watching Black Belt Theater and Kung Fu Theater, I was listening to hip-hop. Why do you think the Wu-Tang was dope? Wu-Tang wasn't first. You had the Fu Chickens before that, you know. So,
Shaolin.
Martial arts, that was the thing. You had the karate shoes. They used to bust out the side. Like, That was it. They go right.
Yeah.
And go right. Why you think the Ghostface Killer and Method Man and the names and stuff sound so dope and so catchy? Because... We embodied that. You know,
right.
They black folks, how much black folks was loving kung fu movies and stuff. I got a collection, dude. You know. Right. You know, so that's what it is, man. Yo, we might have to continue this next week, man. You know, for real. Y'all want to do a part two next week, man? Let's get it. Next week, same bat channel, man. DefCon, call back in. We're going to end it on some music like we always do. That's what it is, man. Catch us again. This is The Stoop on blogtalkradio.com, man. One love.
Hey.
One of these kids is doing his own thing. One of these kids is one and the same. One of these kids is doing his own thing. Now it's time to say his name.
What's his name?
It's the man we all know and love.
What's his name?
I think his name is Kwame.
There was company, some young lady, friends of the family, coming with a slut showing all maturity. She looked me over once just to make sure it's me. She hadn't any kids, no ring that she carried. I quickly assumed this pretty girl wasn't married. The girl was fly, cover not grown. Kissed me on the cheek and said, compliments on my shoes, clothes, and some saying to my mother. Now for this lady, I kinda had the hot. She was laughing with my mother at my baby snapshots. But what got me going to set the day right is when she asked my mother to spend the night. And now my mother said, sure, let her through my door. Sleep on Kwame's bed, he can sleep on the floor. Bother me none, plus she'll go to sleep soon. Plus I was feeling lucky, I was in the same room. That night, we both couldn't sleep, so I had to do something just to keep us awake and not be bored. So the farm started bragging about the places I've toured. Whispered in the ear, let her know that I love her. She says,
boy, I'm older than your mother.
But she stayed silent, put her hand in my hand, says,
this old body,
young lady, young man. And
whatever we do, it's between me and you.
We'll do it. So we started kissing. said, fool, she's feeling guilty. And after a while, she began feeling guilty. I said, what's wrong? Don't I make you feel happy? She says,
oh, I know what you're like.
I said, listen up. Is you is or is you ain't my baby? And if you are, come give me a fat kiss.
Tongue back.
Is you is always you ain't my baby. Because I love like mine, I know your old butt, miss. So why don't you give me a try? Look into my sleepy eyes. Let me know, oh my, oh my. Tell me, girl, am I your